Okay, well, it's lovely to see you. And David spoke to me on, I don't know, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? And said, Mum, you know, and said to me, the doctor has been extremely strict and told him he must be off his feet 80% of the day. And I'd already been talking to David about something that was on my heart. So he said, Mum, do you think you could bring it forward and you know, bring, oh yeah, no problem. And I can tell you, I am standing here this morning feeling very, very nervous. As the time has gone on, I've just felt God saying, no, I don't think that's right for now. No, I think, and even this morning, I was sort of talking to Alan, gosh, I think maybe God is saying this, and I think maybe God is saying this. So can I say, I am just very, very nervous this morning. There's one thing, we had our Starfish Kids meeting yesterday, and we're getting ready now for our camp, and so it was part of our training. And one of the things that Starfish talk about a lot is Soto, which is the story of the one. And I haven't been able to get rid of that phrase for weeks, really. The story of the one. And the sad thing is, nowadays, the individual is just not considered. You've got to be part of the gang. Even, you know, I look at little ones in even nursery, and, you know, Hannah was only telling me a couple of weeks ago that one child in nursery insisted, you only want those four children for his birthday, and that's it. You know, that's his gang. And it starts very early, really, when you think about it. And it doesn't really change. So we all have to be part of something to almost be accepted. We're all bunched together. And I think what's even worse is sometimes we become a number. Now, Alan and I tried to do travel insurance. Now, people tell me, Chris, it is much easier to go on the web and do it. No, it's not. No, it definitely, particularly if you call Chris Williams and you're an IT. And every time I got to a certain page, it bombed out. So I did the sensible thing. I rang. Okay? Yes, I can see some of you know already. Oh, you are most important to us, and we value your custom. You were 645 in the queue. Suddenly I'm a number. I don't mean anything to anybody, basically. And all these things were sort of going through my head. And I thought, you know, Jesus had the tremendous ability to draw crowds. So much so that he had to hide. Because people were always after him, always following him, always pulling on him, always trying to be near him. Because of his just his love and his care and his concern, and people recognize that. But God took me to a day when Jesus and his disciples left Judea and they were walking down to Galilee. And it just so happened that they went through Samaria. You know, I'm eternally grateful to God for those just so happened moments. Just those moments when I thought, I'm not sure which way to go here. Not even sure what to pray. Not even sure if I can pray. It just so happens you turn a corner and there's Jesus. And he's just waiting for us. Now the disciples get their priorities, food. So off they go to the city to get the food. And Jesus sits down by the well. And here comes this woman at midday. Now, he could have got up and walked away. And, you know, we would say that would be the sensible thing to do. I'm a kinesthetic learner, right? So I picture the disciples coming back, seeing this, They are horrified. We cannot imagine how horrified they are. She's a woman, for goodness sake. A Jewish man would never speak to a woman in public. You know, so that's already no. It gets worse. She's a Samaritan. Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. But it gets worse again. Do they know what she is? Do they know who she is? Does Jesus know who she is? And I can imagine Peter and John. You know, and I can imagine Peter saying, John, I think you need to go and speak to him. I think you need to go and tell him. Does he realize what, you know? And you can imagine John saying, look, Pete, you're the one that jumps in with 2 feet. You go and tell him. No, of course, neither of them do. But what does Jesus see? He sees a woman who's broken, who's desperate, who's lonely. Lonely because nobody wants anything to do with her. He doesn't see the person sitting there, whether she's Jew or Samaritan or a woman or a whatever. He just sees this woman who is desperate. Now, there are all sorts of things. I mean, I'm sure just reading the story, we could all have given her a list of sins. We could have put her right. We could have put her on the right road. But Jesus just asked for a drink. There's the connection. Oh, let's have a drink. Can you give me some water? Now, I can imagine this woman is already bowled over. Here's this guy. He's a Jew. Obviously educated. And he's asking me for a drink. And he gives her the time. There's no counselling session. Well, you can have an hour on Thursday. He just gives her time. And he sits with her. And he talks with her. And he shares with her. And gently, he reveals who he is. And she obviously responds to him. The lovely thing is, you know, we belong to a body here. And how blessed we are. How blessed we are. But when I come into his presence, and as I come into, you know, we're going to break bread a little bit differently this morning. As I come into that, I don't come necessarily as part of. I come in as Chris Williams into his presence. With all the hang-ups, with all the things that have gone wrong, with all the rotten week, with all the good week, with all the tiredness, with all the, what's going to bring tomorrow? I just come as Chris. And that's who he accepts. That's who he accepts. Isn't it amazing that we didn't come in this morning with a bull or a goat or a dove that we had to sacrifice before we could come into the presence of God? We just came in. How blessed are we? How blessed are we that we just walk into his presence? Maybe we don't appreciate it as much as we should. The freedom that we have. If you've ever gone into Tesco's to the sweet shop, you'll know there's a pick and mix, okay? And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a new life pick and mix. And I've asked 3 wonderful people, last minute, so gracious, if they will give us their story. I want to know. I feel so encouraged when I hear people's stories and what God has done for them. It so blesses me. And I think that's why I love reading Steve's little blogs sometimes on the Facebook. You know, often he'll say, oh, we've been in town today and, you know, we spent an hour talking to this guy or half an hour. That is so precious. That is so precious. How the story of the one can affect us and can minister to us and can bless us. And so these 3 wonderful people. So I'm going to ask Alan to come first and then Sarah, are you okay then? And then Becky, is that okay?
This happened last Friday. We were at the New Wine Conference, and obviously we hadn't met since 2019. So it was just fabulous to see everybody. I'd seen them online, but it's not the same. And it was a few, I don't know, probably years before, we only had a very brief encounter with this lady called Suzanne. Anyway, on the Friday morning, no, sorry, Saturday morning, I was in a rush to get down to get a breakfast, to get to the conference, to get sort of a drink and chat to everybody. And I was slightly delayed. But anyway, we got to the breakfast area of the hotel that was associated. It was not a hotel. We were in a Premier Inn. They are very good. There are other ones as well. And we got in the queue. We were at the front. There was a desk like this, and we were waiting. And this couple came behind us. And we got to sit at a table quite near to the entrance, and it was a little circular table with four places. So Chris and I sat down, and I said to the receptionist, well, we don't mind them sitting with us. And, you know, since COVID, you've all kept your distance, and it was tremendous to be with them. But what happened was we were chatting, and this lady, Suzanne, was showing our age now, back in the 1970s, was in the youth group in the church that we're involved with, and she was 10. But to cut a long story short, she is now leading the church up in Blenavon with her husband, who's got his own business, and three sons, two of them are in the business. But if anybody had looked at us at that table, they would have thought we were just the one family. We were laughing, we were reflecting what God had done in our lives, and some very difficult things. And of course, we knew some of the people they were talking about. But I thought, conference is great, but to me the highlight was meeting Nick and Suzanne, knowing that what you sow will come. You don't always know who's come to know the Lord. But that was just a lovely time. And we are going to go for a meal up in Blenavon. But the rest of you aren't invited. Yes.
Okay, right, I've just got to get myself ready. I'm going to share about my son, I think. Sorry for the nerves, I don't know what it is, it's just I think God has sort of like done so much, I just get so emotional when I say my testimony. So I'm just going to talk about my eldest son, Dylan. 3 years ago, he was doing his GCSEs, and I had many times, I'd like the welfare officer coming out to the house, look, he's not attending school. And I was like, oh man, it's like, I can't get this boy to go. Like, obviously he has autism, but it was just so difficult. And I just kept on praying, Lord, what am I going to do with him? He's going to come out of school with no exam results. I need you to help us. Time went on, the same circumstance happened. He didn't attend school. I'd have a knock on the door again. Welfare officer, look, he really needs to come. Then they changed his diary so he could go like less time to school. But it just felt like an impossible situation. And I just kept on praying because I thought, Lord, I know that you can do the impossible. I know that you are the God and you control everything. And kept on praying. And I had negative feedback from teachers. He's going to, you know, he's not going to pass any exams. And I thought, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to God. Well, do you know what he had? I think, this is just on top of my mind, I think it was 6 A's. 1 B, 1 C, you know, and I just thank God for that because although he struggled socially, God still, like, you know, made the impossible possible. And I just thank him for that. And he's just not stopped there, like, since then, like, you know, he did an apprenticeship, then COVID happened and he had to give that up. And I'm like, oh, Lord, like, what am I going to do with the boy now? He doesn't want to go to university, even though he gets the grades. And then his grandmother paid for him to do, like, an electrical course. He passes that. He works in Screwfix. And then all of a sudden, he just applied for this job. And now he's, like, a head electrician in Tap Housing Association. And I just praise God all the time that when things look so impossible, I was able to do it. And God's done so much in my life all the time. It's too much for me to, like, explain, but he's done so much. And I just want to encourage you, if you're going through anything today, just keep on praying, never give up. And there's one also, I've been praying for 15 years for one person to reunite with his parents, and he's done that. 15 years, and I don't get it. I'm like, God, why didn't you do that sooner? Why didn't you do it this way? But God says he's got his own way, and he's not Father Christmas, but he will do these things. And I'm just so grateful that God does answer prayers. And I just want to encourage you to pray. Keep on pressing in. When things look like impossible, it is possible. So I just want to encourage you with that.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to give glory to God for Tot's time. I've got the poster, the banner down there. But for those of you who don't know what Tot's Time is, in a nutshell, when the church got this premises, I'd spoken to many people in the community and said, what do you feel as a church we can offer you? And there seemed to be an overwhelming response of something for parents with young children. So as a result of that, myself as a parent with young children, I thought, yeah, I can do something about that. And along with a team of other volunteers, set up Tot's Time. So it's a group that meets in the week, aimed for parents, grandparents, carers of preschool children. And they come in here in the building and we have a wonderful morning of fun, with the aim being that the children would really relax, enjoy their time, but that we would build relationship with the grown-ups that come. On the surface, it could just look like a whole load of fun, but actually there's a far deeper meaning to Tot's Time. And we've had some wonderful results. God has really, really been at work in the nearly 9 years that we've been running. But clearly, in March 2020, it came to an abrupt end due to the pandemic. We kept in touch with people through Facebook posts and so on, but clearly we couldn't meet face to face. And as time went on, sort of in 2021 and coming into 2022 and so on, I noticed other groups in the area that run a similar type of thing had started reopening. And I sought God, and I just asked God, well, is it time for us to reopen? Everything on the surface seemed to be yes, yes, and speaking to people. Everyone was like, yeah, we should reopen. But you know when you get that thing that you see God and you just think, no, now isn't the time. I've just felt I was hearing from God, no, don't open. And I couldn't work out why, still don't quite know the answer as to why, but I just felt that we just need to hold back for some time. But in March this year, I when I was seeking God, I just felt a release and just felt God say, yeah, start pushing the doors to see who you can get to volunteer. Clearly, a lot has changed for all the volunteers that we had, and actually very few of those original volunteers were now available to be able to help. So just three of us felt that we could have the time or the capacity at this stage to reopen Tot's Time. When we sought God, we felt it was right. But only three people, and we were getting 20, 30 children plus the adults regularly. So clearly three volunteers was not going to be enough. But I just felt God saying, no, I'll provide. And the scripture that God gave me and still continues to give me really, really strongly is, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And that's Psalm 127, verse 1. And God kept putting in my mind the song that Lou Fellingham had written based on that verse. And some of the words are, unless you build this house, I'm building it in vain. Unless the work is yours, there is nothing to be gained. And that still rings so true to my heart. You know, we're not just here on a Wednesday morning for a bit of fun. It's God's work, and we're working for the Lord. And you wouldn't believe it. We started with three people in March saying, yeah, we've got the capacity to be able to volunteer. We've now got seven people that are volunteering regularly and are committed, 7 wonderful people here and people that may be watching online. And we pray together before every session, and we know that God is with us. We know we're doing God's work. And I won't pinpoint any names, but I'm sure there's a few people, even only a few months ago, that if I'd said to them, do you know in a few months' time you'll be volunteering in Tots Time? They'd be like, no, never. People that you wouldn't necessarily think would want to give in that way, but they are so wholehearted in giving, and we're all into it for the same reason. And God has provided, and not only has he provided the volunteers, he's also provided wonderful carers of children that come along who are open, who want to talk, who want to share. I've had somebody chat to me about real struggles, antenatal depression, and people asking about church, about struggles through lockdown and so on. They want to talk. They're open. And I really feel that it's fruitful. I really feel that it's fruitful. So wonderful adults, beautiful children that are coming along as well. I mean, it's just a joyful morning. And I give God the glory for that. I really, really do. And I just continue to pray that God would really reap a harvest as a result of Tots Time. He's done such a lot already through Tots Time. And it's an honor to serve him in that way. And I'm just thankful for what he's done and the encouragements that he's given to each of us as volunteers through the journey of Tots Time. So yeah, we give God the glory.
Little round of applause because they were all last minute. So, you know, I'm just so grateful that everybody. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Isn't that lovely? Every single one was different. You know, we're not a number. We're not in a queue. Do you remember? Oh gosh, some of the very young ones won't remember. Do you remember when you used to go into Tesco's to the deli and they used to have to take a number from their thingy? You know, when we came in this morning, God didn't give us a number. Take your turn in the queue. You know, he's just ministering to us all the time as we come to him. How incredibly blessed we are. What a privilege it is to have that access into the presence of the Father. We're going to do breaking of bread now. We're going to do it differently. I've got 3 lovely assistants who are going to help me. And what we're going to do is Pete is going to read the familiar scripture to us. And I'm going to ask the girls to give out the bread and the wine straight away to you. Okay? And then I want you to hold that. Now, normally we do it together, all together, which is lovely, because that, you know, that's part of family. But I just felt this morning, you know, this is an encounter for the one. This is an encounter for the one with Jesus and with the Father. So Pete is going to read the scripture. Whilst we're then doing, whilst we're sort of meditative and taking the bread and wine for ourselves, maybe praying, maybe the situations that you just want to bring to the Lord, maybe you just want to praise him. I'm just going to read a scripture because I really want the band to be able to be a part of this as well. And to be able to take the bread and wine as well, okay? So Pete, if you can do that for me, lovely.
Yeah, so this is from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Okay, so the girls are coming round with the bread and the wine. And I think we mustn't be afraid maybe of silence, although I will be reading a scripture. This is really just a time maybe you just need to sit and rest in the presence of God. But these are just moments that you can have with the Father. And for you guys online, this is not just something for here. We know that the Lord is not just in this building. But I would encourage you as well to just spend those moments just with the Lord. Okay. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And we are part of a body, and we're not necessarily all together. But when Jesus died and rose again, he rose for completeness, completion in us. So I'm going to just take this opportunity to pray for Sally and for David. I think as we're together as a family, you know, there is something about being together as a family as well, and praying together. And there may be people that you know, loved ones, you know, add them to the prayer as we pray together. Father, we thank you that your promises are always true and amen. Father, what was on my heart this morning for Sally and for David and for whoever else needs you today, Lord, that they won't just feel better, but you will bring a complete healing. Lord, that you're into restoration. You're into taking us from darkness to light. You are into abundant life for us. And Father, we pray this morning as we gather together that, Lord, as we lift our prayers in unison, that Father, we would see your Holy Spirit just flowing through their bodies. Lord, that there would be no residue, but Lord, there would be strength and wholeness and healing and well-being would flow through their bodies. Lord, even as we're praying here, we know that your Spirit is with them. And Father, we just pray that they will sense just a touch from heaven on their bodies today. Lord, that you would give them a sense of well-being, a sense of peace, a sense of your, Lord, your tangible presence surrounding, blessing, upholding, ministering, speaking. How grateful we are, Lord. Your death and your resurrection was not, it never, was never incomplete. It was complete. Lord, when you shouted, it is finished. That's what you meant. It is finished. That you took away the sting of death and everything that it holds. And you gave us life. Oh, Father, we just bless you. We just bless you this morning for all that you are. We bless you, Father, that you are the God whose eyes roam over the lands looking for the one to bless, looking for the one that needs you. How grateful we are, Father, that you know us. Father, we can so glibly say, yes, the hairs upon our head are numbered, and we say it, but Father, that's the reality of how well you know us, how intimate you are with us. And Father, we just bless you for that this morning, that we have that relationship with you. How privileged we are. What a privilege it is, Father, to come into your presence and to be at your feet. Lord, we just thank you. Pray that as everyone has taken the bread and the wine, Father, that they will feel that sense of your presence in whatever area they need right now. Because you're interested in the one, we know that we can come to you and just leave whatever we've got at your feet, knowing that you understand. Knowing that you love us, knowing that you are not there to wag the finger, but you're there to wrap us up in your arms. You're there to share with us, you're there to minister to us, you're there to just be with us. What a privilege, Father. We just thank you and we just bless you this morning for all that you are to us, Father. Amen. Okay, as the guys come back, We're just gonna celebrate the Lord. And some verses that came to me were from Psalm 24. I'm sure you know them well. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.